Welcome to Local Matters. I'm in the studio today with fellow writer Jenny Moore Ivey, though I don't know that I can say a fellow writer because I think her writing skill is far beyond my capacity, and what you've written along the way exceeds what I've written in thousands and thousands and thousands of words. I know you mostly or originally as a columnist for the Herald Citizen.
Correct.
You've been there.
That's where I've written the most words.
Oh, is it? That's good to know.
Well, right. Yeah, I would have to say it is. Of course it is.
Right, yes. Yeah. I've loved your writing at the Herald Citizen over the years. I really have. As far as a columnist goes, and I have favorite columnists, and you've always been one of my favorite. Your column on COVID-19 has been a great influence, I think, or has helped many people along the way. And so thanks for taking that on. How many columns in total do you think
you've written? Well, I guess I wrote the first one on the way home from Denver when we were first realizing it was serious. And I rode home with some friends who'd been out there skiing, and we realized maybe there was going to be no place to get gas and no place to get something to eat and no place to go to the bathroom. And the way we dealt with all that from Denver to Cobble was truck stops. And so we would go in to use the bathroom and eat and get gas, I began to just think about what it might be like to live as a trucker. And then I thought, and not for the first time, certainly, I know if you got it, a truck brought it, but the real hero in any of this is the truckers, because if they don't bring it, we don't get it. And it just gave me a new perspective, the coronavirus perspective, on what we owe our truckers and how hard their life is.
You just set off a light bulb in my head. I'd never given thought to the fact that, you know, the essential when it comes down to this are these guys that stay on the road. And when was that, by the way?
It was St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, it was.
Isn't that interesting?
I was to have, I'm usually out at my daughter's house in Denver in March, and we watched the NCAA tournament, which of course didn't happen.
Right.
And then I was supposed to leave on the 18th, and so always on the 17th we have Reuben sandwiches for supper. And so she just has this meltdown that we're not going to have Reuben sandwiches. And I said, my ride is leaving now, and I'll have to have a Reuben sandwich some other time,
right.
But I've got to go.
You know,
so I remember it was St. Patrick's Day that we had.
Something.
And we did spend the night in Salina, Kansas, not Salina, Tennessee, but Salina,
right.
Kansas at a motel.
I know Salina, Kansas, believe it or
yes,
not.
Yes, so there you go.
You know, I've traveled that route, and I actually worked at a truck stop just east of Denver in 1977 called the Tomahawk Truck Stop. And I remember then the guys that would drive the trucks, and there were very few female drivers at the time, almost all men, who would each push me to get them in and out first. Four
right.
bays with 18-wheelers,
right.
you know, each.
Right.
And so you're right. They've been the people that's been the artery that's kept
us alive. And
that's
the only place we stopped. We stopped at the motel in Salina, and then every other stop was a truck stop.
That's interesting.
And then from that point on, I do a column every Sunday, which I start typically on the Sunday before. I just started calling them COVID-19 Diary. Because there's no way you can write a column right now, or I can't, and it doesn't have to all be about the coronavirus, but we're living in unique times. And so everything I write ties in some way to this COVID-19.
Absolutely.
I'm hoping one day I won't just call it COVID-19 Diary, but I don't know.
Yes, you know, we have no idea.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of the feeling a lot of people have. The common denominator is, I'm not sure. A low-grade anxiety in some cases. I mean, at least with those that are staying informed about it. And that's one of the great things you've helped people do, is to feel informed and also share their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a want that people think, am I crazy, or am mm-hmm. I feeling over-anxious, or what is my level of anxiety supposed to be like?
Right.
You know, and you help bring a level of normalcy. And that's like the new normal right now.
And that kind of is, I think, my job as a columnist. To me, the biggest compliment anybody can ever say to me is, I feel like you're my best friend.
That's wonderful.
And, you know, people will stop me at Walmart and you know, and they're always like sort of embarrassed and they go, are you Jenny Ivey? And I love your column. Sorry to bother you. And I go, it's no bother. It's no bother for you to
right.
stop me.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Tell me that you love what I write. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you. But I just want to talk to people. I just want to, you know, I don't have the power to, I don't have a medical background there. I don't have a power to do a lot of things, but I try to use my column to make people feel better when I can, and to influence them politically when I can.
I would say you don't have the power to do a lot of other things. I mean, the power that you have and what you do is quite powerful.
It is
and
powerful.
I mean, you know, the power of the word. I mean, the pen is mightier than the sword, as they say. You
right.
Know, so.
And I was on the school board for a very short time in the mid-90s, and I'm pretty unelectable to any political office because I speak my mind and people don't like
right.
that a lot of
yeah.
times. But when I was not elected to the school board, I was so crushed, and I had a friend say to me, you can do so much more in your newspaper column than you could ever do on the school board. And
that's a very good point. We are in the studio with Jenny Ivey, who, if you go to her website, jennyivey.com, is noted as being a speaker and author and a lover of all things Tennessee. So, I mean, I'm assuming you had something to do with that. And that T-shirt you're wearing is amazing.
My daughter helped me write that line.
There's a Tennessee T-shirt that I'm looking at with great envy. And I have quite a few of my own that people envy. But Jenny and I both have a love of all things Tennessee. And we wear it proudly as we go along.
Yes,
so,
we do.
Yeah. But, yeah, as a lover of all things Tennessee, therefore you're writing for not just Tennesseans, but once the newspaper's online, for anybody that can access it worldwide and can also fall in love with Tennessee and understand Tennessee as well.
I'm not saying I understand Tennessee. I'm just saying I'm in love with
Tennessee. But to your degree, you know, you as a writer, you help give people a perspective.
Yes.
You know, what's going on here.
And I, you know, try to give them a positive perspective and Do what I can.
You know, for someone like me that lives not just in Cookeville, but in, you know, New York City, have lived in New York City, don't live there anymore, Chicago and a small town in the country of about 525 people and very close to where Washington crossed the Delaware, people often have that question. What's going on in Cookeville? What's Tennessee mm-hmm. like? Mm-hmm. So many people call and are on social media asking me, how's everything in Tennessee? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I very often point people to things that you write to say,
well,
if you want a perspective
thank
other than mine, check
thank
this
you.
Out. So, but you're also a speaker, I understand.
Yeah, I speak for anybody who pays me to speak or even for free.
Was I supposed to pay you today?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you about the check.
How about another Tennessee T-shirt?
yes, I speak at writers' conferences, and I speak at school events and, you know, wherever anybody.
Sure, yeah.
Anybody who'll hire me, I'll come talk. I'll come yeah. talk about anything I'm qualified to talk about.
This is the most you and I have talked in person, and you mentioned.
No, we talked at Talk of the Town last week.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I'll say that. But this conversation feels so much more intimate, especially because we're in, of course, we're at a safe distance in this recording studio together. And
More than 6 feet.
And when I came in, one of the first things you said is, are you going to wear that mask? Because I can listen to you by seeing your mouth.
Right.
So, yeah, it is nice. It's nice to commune, and commune is the base word of communication, and I feel like that communication is becoming separate from people by way of social media. We think we're communicating, but we're not actually communing. We're alone together in front of computers,
right.
and therefore, you know, social media has the power to either pull us together or drive us apart, and I see it doing both at the
same time,
as must you.
And you know, speaking of you taking the mask off so I could know what you were saying, I'm a big fan of masks, and I do not go out in public without my mask on. I do not. You know, I don't go to a store or gas station. But I'm also a big smiler. My dad was a big smiler, and I just smile at people. And so it's so hard when I have a mask on to – and I find myself smiling at people, and I go, you might as well quit smiling at them because they can't even see your smile.
Right.
And so now I just do this. Well,
that's exactly what I was going to say. I wave,
I know,
right? Exactly.
I know.
Hi there.
Yeah.
You know, whoever passes
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so it's an interesting new a wave instead of a smile, and we're adjusting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, there's a lot of people I'm hearing say, I want to just go back to being normal again, and I find myself asking them the question simply, how would you be into the idea of going forward to a new normal, mm-hmm. whatever that is?
Mm-hmm.
And I said at the very beginning, we can look at this as either a plague or a great opportunity to stop and evaluate our lives and how we live and how we live in the future. And you seem to be one of those people that has that self-awareness and that idea.
Well, I'm privileged in that my job requires a lot of reading and writing, and I can do my reading and writing job anywhere I am. And so this has been nothing but additional wonderful time for me. I have my backyard is woods, and I've got 7 bird feeders and 3 pileated woodpeckers at one time. And, you know, so I have a place to walk, a place to ride my bike, a place to put my kayak in. I live on City Lake. So it's, you know, I'm lucky. A lot of people are not so lucky.
And you've probably discovered, like a lot of people, that nature is coming out of the woods
awesome.
And out of the
it's
woodwork
awesome.
Everywhere.
It's awesome.
The trees are filling with birds. The
awesome.
Highways, we see animals more than we've ever seen before. And it'll be interesting to see if we can continue that way and what safety standards will be in effect.
And, you know, the expression, nature bats last, I hope so.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. There are a lot of people that have talked for some time with regards to climate destruction and what's going on with the world in general and nature, that the world's set on destroying itself. And I said, no, really, if the world has to, it'll destroy us first,
right.
You know. Mother Nature's just turning up the thermostat by a degree or two each year, and it works for her, not necessarily for us, but
right.
we're learning. We're all learning as we go along, so... You know, one of the things that I find interesting is the title, Mining for Your Memories.
It's and Mining Your Memories.
Mining Your Memories. Yeah, Mining Your Memories.
Can I tell you about that?
Yeah, tell us about Mining
okay,
Your Memories. Mining Your Memories.
I'm a long-term member of First United Methodist Church here in Cookeville, along with your dad, the usher.
Yes.
And
along with
and
me,
your,
actually.
And
did
your
you know
aunt,
that?
Yes, I know. I don't see you there a lot.
I know.
I don't see anybody there a lot because we haven't been meeting. But and, of course, your dear Jean Evelyn Warren, your aunt. But several years ago, somebody approached me with the idea, would I lead a writing group at the church? And so it was, you know, kind of months in the making, and we floundered around a lot and messed up and didn't do what we needed to be doing. And then I just came up with this idea for seniors to meet and write down our memories and share them with each other. So I could, the structure of the class is we have a one word prompt, and you go home and write a story based on that one word prompt, and then we come back the next week and share the story.
And I didn't realize this was a group for seniors, and I'd love to hear more about this because this is something I love, the idea of mining, actually, and we'll hear a lot more about that and much more about Jenny Ivey right after this break.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are in the studio with writer Jenny Ivey, who also is the facilitator, leader of a writer's group called Mining Your Memories that takes place at a local church of ours, the First United Methodist Church. Tell us about that some more.
We started the group, I guess, 7 or 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago. I don't know how many years ago. Just because people felt the need as they get older to leave something to their kids or whoever about their lives. And I've from the beginning said, let's don't tell about your life chronologically. Nobody really cares what hospital you were born in and what, you know, we don't want to go day by day, year by year. We want to hear the stuff that you remember. So we might have all the prompts are one word prompts. All of them are one word prompts. And some of them can be a noun, some of them can be a verb, some of them like the word spring. So somebody might write about something that happened one spring, or they might talk about an experience they had down by the spring, or the time that they sprang up from a chair because a robber came in the house, or whatever. So every one of our words is one word prompts. And so at the beginning, okay, you go home and do your homework, and then you come back to class and you read your story. But you only get 5 minutes, and that's why I'm the teacher. 5 minutes is it, because we got 12 people, and that's an hour right there. So you get 5 minutes to read your story, then the next one, then the next one, then the next one. Then the way we end the class is we say, next week we talk about this prompt. And the prompt might be gun, for example. The most intense prompt we ever did was gun, and it was tough.
I'm sure.
And so for 3 minutes, everybody sits there quietly and they just brainstorm every story they can think of that ever happened to them that involved a gun. So they just for like 3 minutes. And then we go around the circle and you don't tell the story. You just say, one time I was robbed. I was a helicopter gunner in Vietnam. I used to work at a gun store. I shot my brother in the eye with a BB gun. Just round and around and around. And people go, oh, yeah. And so then they go home and they have not only their own ideas, but everybody else's idea.
Right.
And they come back the next week with a fabulous story. And that's so it goes on and on and on. And so we're not telling your boring, your life in a boring chronological way. We're telling the stories that mean something to you.
Right.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
Sadly, we have not met this. We have not met since February because COVID.
Absolutely. People trying to find ways to get together and do it online, it can be very artificial and frustrating.
I'm encouraging not just the people in my class, but I'm encouraging everyone. You're living history right now. If you're not writing this down, you're not going to remember it. And your grandkids are not going to know what you went through during COVID-19. Yep. They're not going to know that you had to come home from the grocery store and bleach your counter down and bleach your groceries down and move them over and bleach under that. They're not going to know that. Tell them. Write it down.
I agree. Maybe I've shared this quote with you before, and maybe I haven't, but the driving force for me as a person that likes to document things, especially when I was a photographer, and I spent some years working as a photographer and had some success at that, is entirely based on a quote from Lewis Carroll's Through the Looking Glass, and it simply goes, "The horror of that moment," the king went on, "I shall never forget. You will, though," the queen said, "unless you make a memorandum of it." So that's exactly what you're speaking to. The dates, we all sort of, once we've memorized the dates, we know the dates. But what keeps history alive and vital and wants people talking about it are the feelings at that time. You know, when my aunt, Jean Evelyn Warren, as you said, who was one of the great history keepers in the area for Putnam County and Cookeville in general, could tell you a story about, but talk about the feelings, you know, the excitement of the train coming through, not just when the train originally came to Cookeville. She remembers the engine number. She remembers especially the guy at the front waving at her, and she thought that he was waving. It was specifically looking for her when he came to Cookeville to be able to wave
and
at
he
her.
He probably was.
You never know. But the feeling, I mean, what a great feeling
right,
that has.
Right.
When it is all
about your feelings. You can you can get the newspapers and document the history, but you know, for a long time, the outside of my throat hurt, you know, when COVID, and I thought, do I have COVID? And I would like take my temperature 10 times a day, and it wasn't, I didn't have a cough. It's just the outside of my throat, you know, then my neck hurt. And so a friend of mine who's a dental hygienist said, because you're clenching your teeth all the time.
Oh.
She goes, you're grinding your teeth day and night. I sat here and watched you do it. And I went, oh, that could be it.
Did you write that down, by the way? Because that's a great story.
Well, I've done a little better with not clenching. It's a little hard sometimes.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. The manifestation of anxiety starts with sort of a physical exterior, tightened shoulders, clenched teeth.
Right.
And from there, it can be entirely destructive in a way that other diseases cannot be, you know. But the stress that everybody's having, the anxiety that people are having, I think that writing a column and keeping people together and writing and talking about it helps us all feel a little bit alike. And we want to feel a little bit alike, not alone with our craziness or anxiety.
And what I'm encouraging my friends to do, the first thing a person will say to you is, well, I'm not a writer, so I can't do that. And I said, can you hold a pencil? Do you have any paper in your house? Just start writing. Nobody has to see it but you. Just start writing, and don't censor yourself, and don't edit yourself, and don't proofread yourself. Just let her rip.
Yes.
Just let her rip for like 15 minutes, and then tomorrow you can go back and fix it. But you'll be shocked at what comes out in 15 minutes if you don't allow yourself to pick that pencil up off the paper. You'll be shocked and awed and in wonder.
Being in the studio today with Jenny Ivey makes me realize also that I've never asked you the question, have you ever worked as an actor?
I've not.
You are so entirely animated in everything that you're talking about, your enthusiasm and your passion, at least for writing. We're mostly talking about writing.
Oh, I could be passionate about a lot of stuff.
I could see that. Have you ever considered acting?
I've never acted. I don't know. I can talk about anything to anybody. And I mean, I could stand in Neyland Stadium and talk, but if like not play the piano or anything like that, but I can talk, but I never acted. I've tried to act.
I'm watching you talk in a similar way that I do is with your hands. With your hands, the way you talk
heads,
with your
I
hands.
Guess, yeah.
I've wanted to study sign for some time. I don't know about you, but at least I'm proficient in Spanish, which allows me to travel through, say, Italy and other Latin-based countries that have a Latin-based language, which is helpful, you know. But everywhere I go, people talk with their hands.
Yeah.
A lot more outside of the United States than here.
Yeah,
so
really?
it's lovely to see in
person.
And I
don't know if that's a Southern thing. I don't know.
In New York City, if you meet somebody who is an Italian, who is from New York City, who considers themselves a Brooklyn or Staten Island Italian, they'll say, no, that's an Italian thing. And they'll tell you to your face, you have Italian blood in you, or you're not able to talk with
no
your hands.
How redheaded
this,
you are.
This preposterous generalization that I've heard many of them make about themselves. So, but it is great to see somebody with passion about writing and about reading, I'm assuming,
yes,
too.
Yes, I'm a big reader. Every writer, not all readers. Write, but all writers read.
That's so true. Favorite writers of yours, columnist or
well, I
fiction?
Have my favorite columnist right now is Leonard Pitts. I love Leonard Pitts, and he is in the Herald Citizen, I'm happy to say. I've been very influenced. I guess the one that I wish I could write the most, the one I wish I could write one sentence like he writes is Rick Bragg. Do you know Rick Bragg?
I don't know.
Okay, well, you should read Rick Bragg. He's worked for the New York Times. He writes the In Peace and Southern Living. He has written many books, one of which is called All Over But the Shoutin', about growing up with his mother. But Rick Bragg, I would just die happy if I could write one sentence like Rick Bragg.
You said he writes the In Peace in Southern Living,
yes,
as in the magazine.
Yeah,
I haven't seen the magazine in years.
Just go to rickbragg.com. You don't have to get Southern Living.
I will. Yeah.
Just go to Rick Bragg and I was very influenced in his time by Louis Grizzard.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Mitch Albom.
Right.
You know.
How about fiction writers or
okay,
non-fiction
well,
writers?
A lot. Comic. A million.
Sure.
And you said, and so you sent me this text. So Louis sends me this text a few minutes ago, and he goes, hey, if we run out of stuff to talk about, we can talk about what 10 books you want on a desert island.
Desert
and I'm
island.
Like, that's like my constant struggle because I have a bookshelf in my house that's called Books That Changed My Life. And so I have a lot of bookshelves, but that bookshelf is called The Books That Changed My Life. And so I tell my kids and they go, you know, when I die, you should know that book. They go, we know, Mama, those are the books that changed your life. And so I just, you know, remind them. And sometimes I just go to those books. And like during COVID, I said, well, what if I'm on my deathbed? What would I read something new? Or would I go back and pull that one off and say, this might be the last book I get to read on this planet?
Yeah.
What would it be?
It's a great approach.
You know,
we have exactly 2 minutes and 20 seconds. I'm dying to hear some of
you
these.
Know,
go.
You want to know what book I would read?
Yes.
Again, it would be Charlotte's Web.
Charlotte's Web.
It would be Charlotte's
wow.
Web. Okay,
sure.
So I would do Charlotte's Web, and then I would probably, if I had enough time, it just depends on how much time I had, I would read Lonesome Dove. Let's see, where else would I go with that? I would read something by Wendell Berry, perhaps.
Okay.
I love a writer I've recently discovered is a Colorado writer who's no longer living. Kent Haruf, Haruf, rhymes with sheriff. Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous writer. I love the North Carolina writer Lee Smith, the woman Lee Smith. I love her stuff. I love Elizabeth Strout, who wrote Olive Kittredge, and I can't wait to get my hands on a copy of Olive again, which is what came after Olive Kittredge. So on and on and on.
Right.
I have to take a big bag of books to the island.
Oh,
with
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Every time you get on a ship, make sure you take a bag of books with you. You know, I was privileged to know and was mentored by somebody when I first moved to New York City who was one of the greatest editors in publishing history, Pat Gulbitz. And among the books she did were Peter Jenkins' books.
Okay.
She actually found him as a writer from an article in National Geographic magazine, and his first book, The Walk Across America, mm-hmm. was her first job as an acquisitions
wow.
editor, and she would eventually become vice president and senior editor at William Morrow. But she greatly influenced me in helping me to choose writers that I hadn't read up until that point. And I was an early reader. I read by age 3, so I was always asking everybody, you know, what's your favorite
what
book?
What should I read?
I still find myself returning to Dickens, oddly, and
talk about
the best of times and the worst of times. We're living it now. Who would have thought we'd be living in a Dickensian era almost, you know,
so.
Except with technology.
So I am... I've suggested in my book group years ago that we read Great Expectations because I remembered reading it in ninth grade and thought it was pretty good. And so we walked into that meeting that morning and everybody's just like glowering at me. And I said, I'm sorry.
It's a tough read.
I'm so sorry I suggested Great Expectations.
We should spend more time. We're running out of time. I'd love to have you back in the studio again if you'll
come back. Yeah.
Let's just talk about more of your favorite writers and favorite books at some point.
Okay,
so
we'll do
thank
it.
You so much,
we'll
Jenny Ivey, for
right,
being with
you,
us.
Lewis.
And we hope to hear from you again soon.
Thank you.
Okay.